Beautiful choir, Walter, Matt. Perfect anthem for stewardship dedication, Let It Rain Down. God's love. So the very first verse of the 21st chapter of Joshua goes like this. So Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And so we have. Pray with me. Gracious God, we do pause in this moment to pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we too have gathered this morning, dedication Sunday, to present ourselves before God. Now we do this every Sunday, of course, come before God in a special way, a way that we don't probably any other day of the week, but this Sunday is different even than all of the other Sundays of the year. We've been intentional about Dedication Sunday since I've been a part of this community. And at the end of the journey that we've been on since mid-October with the ancient Israelites, there are few scriptures better suited for this day than Joshua 24. This passage, and particularly the second part of verse 15, is special to me in several ways. When I graduated seminary way back in 1999, my older brother, an ordained pastor in the United Church of Christ, gave me a wooden plaque that had what I assumed was a Bible verse on it. It was carved in Japanese symbols, you see, along with a letter of congratulations and good wishes. Tim, my brother, was fluent in Japanese. He had taken classes before he left for Japan and served there. He'd been serving there for 2 or 3 years already in the world mission of the United Church of Christ. Well, I had to get in touch with him after I received that plaque to remind him that I didn't speak Japanese and that he didn't tell me what this plaque said. Oh, it's a Bible verse, he said. He said, yeah, well, I get that, Tim, just by what it looks like on the side, smaller letters, actually on the left side, chapter and verse. Which Bible verse is it? And he couldn't remember. He said that he was trying to decide between Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, the Great Commission, go therefore and baptize all nations. Now, this was before smartphones and text messagings and pictures that I could take and send him and say, there it is, what does it say? I'm pretty sure we were emailing each other, but I honestly don't remember that. In any case, there was no way for him to see the plaque and for me to adequately describe to him what these characters looked like. So I just hung it on the wall in my first office at Highland Presbyterian. Whenever I was asked, I said, well, that's either Joshua 28:15 or 24:15 or Matthew 28:19-20. And it was a few months later that the Reverend Lou Lancaster, who worshiped with his wife at Highland Presbyterian, happened to drop by my office, and we were talking. He glanced over and looked up at the plaque, and he said, as for me and my household, and I jumped up out of my chair and said, what? He said, oh, I'm just reading your plaque. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Lou had been a missionary in Japan in the 50s. So my mystery was solved. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 is my confirmation verse as well, confirmed in the United Church of Christ in ninth grade. And again, there aren't many verses better suited for this Sunday. I read the first verse of the 24th chapter of Joshua as we began this morning. Verse 15 is the last verse. Listen for the word of God in between. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in its midst, and afterward I brought you out. When I brought your ancestors out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your ancestors with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. When they cried out to the Lord, God put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them, and your eyes saw what I did to Egypt. Afterwards, you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I handed them over to you, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. And verse 13 says, I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and towns that you had not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive yards that you did not plant. We've come this morning to a place that we did not build, that we did not earn. We've come this morning to present ourselves to God. It's been a long journey this year, even for us. We've moved through the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy into the book of Joshua, and even all the way through that this past week. I read from chapter 4 last week. You may recall, we pulled our stones from the river. We placed them down to remind us that God has provided and that we will respond. And this week, this morning, we've come to that chapter of Joshua, the last chapter, to present ourselves before God and before one another. But before that, let us remember our journey, as our reading from Joshua reminded the ancient Israelites. It's been a long time coming this day, 6 weeks this year. Our reading goes a long way back, not just scripturally, but in the history of the church, all the way back to when the first two or more gathered in Christ's name on this plot of land and declared that what these stones will mean to their children. Pee-wee Valley Presbyterian Church. From beyond the river they came, from out of the wilderness to the top of the ridge, down into the valley of promise that was no more earned than the air they breathed, but that was given to them for generations who would follow. Those generations now include us, sitting here today, 151 years later. On our own journey this year, an annual passage that we try to live up to, the pledges of yesterday, living into the promises of tomorrow. Our journey began out in the wilderness. We were complaining from the outset. You remember? We had no water to drink. We were told to strike the rock, discover God's presence in your midst, listen for God's direction, follow God's lead, strike the rock. We came to the base of Mount Sinai this year. We made a pledge that foreshadowed this very day. Does anyone remember that pledge from weeks ago? We said it three times together that morning. We will do, we pledged long ago and far away. We began our stewardship season with the ancient pledge before we even knew what we were promising. Everything the Lord has asked, we will do. With the confidence and the courage of our conviction, we listen directly to God on the next Sunday, moving beyond the pledge, encouraged and strengthened by the words Asia spoke to us in her sermon message. At the base of the mountain, we planned and we prepared. We built a tabernacle, a movable sanctuary for God, and we prepared to set out again to the land of promise. The next Sunday, two Sundays ago, we found it, that land. We spent a week on the other side of the river looking at it. Milk and honey, financial budgets and opportunities, from education ministries to memorial gifts, offerings, everything in between. It was beautiful, we noted, in its way. Still a dream, still a vision, this promise, waiting for today. Would it be realized? Could it be? We spent a whole week poised before the promise, wondering that, praying for our personal and communal reply. And just last week, we crossed over, remembering our faith and our faithful together on All Saints Sunday. With a radical trust and fidelity to the God who cared for us all the journey through, we gathered our own stones and we placed them in our minds as the foundation for what lay ahead this day. Today, we answer our children's questions. What do these stones mean to you? The journey that Joshua retells for the ancient Israelites has been ours this year. It's ours every year, out of bondage, into the wilderness, met by God, led by God to a land of blessings and peace, of memories past and ministries present, and perhaps most importantly, of mission future. We've gathered, all of us, to present ourselves before God. And the challenge that Joshua issues in our final verses this morning is the challenge that we face every day of our lives. Choice. Now, therefore, Joshua continues, revere the Lord and serve God in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you're unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's not an easy decision, this choice. It's not as simple as a pledge card or an agreement with yourself or someone else to come a little more frequently to worship or to get more involved in fellowship. It means taking part in transforming the world, this choice. Beyond the global economic realities of the past years and the more recent upheavals and progress in the social structure of our own country and the gloomy outlooks of world cynics in every newspaper and that lead out every newscast, in addition to all of those realities, we're talking about giving to the church, as fallible an institution as any other in our lives, and one administered by imperfect stewards, you and me. And yet as we gather this morning, we do so not to present ourselves to an institution or to any person or persons in it. We've come to present ourselves before God and before one another for our little corner of God's kingdom on earth. How will our household respond? I want you to do one more thing for me this time of the sermon. I do this almost every year. If you have your pledge card with you, take it out. Take it into your hand. If you don't have it, there's pledge cards in the pews. There should be plenty. There better be plenty. Hold it in your hand. If with your family or with your spouse, one of you hold it, but both of you take notice of what's in front of you. Now, as you hold that card, blank perhaps, but hopefully with some commitment at least in mind, soon to be written down, listen again to Joshua's words. Choose this day whom you will serve. It's a much deeper choice than a pledge card or a commitment to time and talents in this place. Joshua also makes it clear in our reading that our decision is free and deliberate. We do have options. We live in a time that worships a multitude of deities. It's possible for us to do that too. But as we have come here on this day, this morning, this gathering, this dedication Sunday as a household of God to present ourselves before God, we pray with the anxiety that always foresees great things, that as for us and our household, we will serve the Lord. During our offertory, we will come forward and place our pledge cards, blank or filled out in full, in the basket that I will place in the center of the pew. Then return to your seats and we will continue our worship service. First, before all of that, that dedication, that decision, that choice, let us sing, let us affirm our faith together, and then let us choose again to serve the Lord. Amen.